Blockbus.net Podcast Network.
Think was the worst pay-per-view ever? I mean, I will exclude, I'll take things like, you know, Tournament of Death off the list, because, you know, Tournament of Death, A, occasionally has some good wrestling, and B, it's just supposed to be a freak show.
Funny story is that's one of the questions that was asked.
God damn.
Since all of the middling to bad reviews for WWE Battleground.
That's the thing. Was Battleground 2017 one of the all-time worst pay-per-views?
One of? I may have to say that. When you factor the pacing of everything, the finishes, what the hell were they thinking?
Well, as you can tell, you have tuned in to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. I'm Richard.
I'm spent. I mean, I'm Gene.
Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into oneofus.net's wrestling podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. We have great fun doing this show.
Except when watching certain.
Yeah, except for watching companies. The worst pay-per-views of all time. Don't forget, the best way to help keep us doing shows like this, shows like Highly Suspect Reviews, Digital Noise, Rage Select, Deliberations of Doom, the best way to do it is to become a subscriber to the site. It's really super easy. If you go to the oneofus.net site, that's oneofus.net, you click on the subscriber button. You can start at $2 a month. It gives you all kinds of exclusive content, including film commentaries and the Weekly Breakfast Pub podcast, which is our news podcast. You know, $2 a month, it keeps the lights on, and we really do super appreciate it. And the thing is, all the rest of the content on the site is for free. Go check it out. Go download it. Thank you so much. But anyway, yes. So we have survived, amazingly. The number of people I know who this week went, there's another WWE pay-per-view? Because they were shocked. Because we've had so many in succession. I mean, what do we have?
This is the third in 6 weeks, and
We had Great Balls of Fire on July 9th. We had Money in the Bank on June 18th. We had Extreme Rules on June 4th. We have Backlash on May 21st. And that weekend we did actually have, the day before, we actually had NXT TakeOver as well. We had NXT TakeOver Chicago the night before Backlash. This has been
insane. Seven pay-per-views in 10 months.
This has been insane.
I'm sorry. 10 pay-per-views in 7 months.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the UK Championship special.
7 weeks. I apologize.
Yeah, and the UK Championship special was 2 weeks before that. You know, this has been ridiculous. This has been, you know, I know the concern has always been, well, the WWE is going to burn the audience out. I really think this was the point where they burned them out, and it's almost like they did it deliberately. Because, now folks, you know me, I am the level-headed and even-tempered one in this show. I can't even get
couldn't
it.
Couldn't even say that couldn't with even a straight get face. Sentence
This is a show where they have been building up, they've been trying to create something that will feel like a blow-off for one of the most ill-considered feuds. We've almost forgotten how bad an idea it is to have Randy Orton in 2017, a man who is like, rest holds, and doesn't even have the wit of Kevin Owens to make it a joke or part of the gimmick. It's just what he does. Versus Jinder Mahal, who is not getting any better, and put them in the worst gimmick match I think imaginable.
There's a reason we haven't seen a Punjabi prison match in 10 years.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. Any match where there needs to be at more than one screen to show the rules.
I think
that it's probably ill-conceived.
I think the last time we saw a match with as complicated a rule set,
reverse battle royal.
Reverse battle royal.
Bro, it was ingenious, bro.
Wasn't there a reverse battle royal for a King of the Mountain? So you had to get in and then throw everybody out, and then, like there was. I mean, this is the thing about the Punjabi prison. No, this is.
I blocked out a long period of TNA
to clarify. Yeah, what we're talking about here, Punjabi prison match was developed in 2006, I think, and the original idea was that it was going to be Big Show versus the Great Khali.
And that didn't happen.
And you've got two of the biggest guys in the entire that you've ever had. You had Show, who around that point was probably about 450, 6'8". You've got Great Khali, who is a legitimate 7'1", and cannot move. The guy just can't. And they thought he was going to be a main eventer, which proves, everybody forgets, like, they do not know how to pick a main eventer.
He's tall, pal.
And then they put them inside two concentric pipe cages, which are not bamboo. They are
they're supposed to look like bamboo, but they really don't.
And then they have to. there are four doorways which are open for a maximum of 60 seconds each, and if you can't get out in 60 seconds, then that doorway is locked permanently. And once all of them locked, you have to climb out, and then go, and then climb out through the second fence as well, and go down. Now, here's the problem with this, and this is why, inherently, a Punjabi prison match is going to be worse than any other bad gimmick match I can possibly consider. Save maybe, what was the one WCW did where it was a cage on top of a cage?
Not War Games. Crap.
Yeah, that was the only one, because it was so incredibly complicated, nobody could work out what was going on, and it wasn't lit well. Here's the problem. You have any wide shots, and you can't see anything. Because it's not like a cage match where you can see through the cages. You know, this is two structures made of thick pipe over each other, so you just can't see anything. This is literally a match where half the time, if you're watching on TV, you can't see anything. If you're in the crowd, you may as well have been sat behind one of those, you know, those infamous fake palm trees from WrestleMania when they were in Orlando. You know, this is just. It's such a bad idea.
I think the WCW one, I think it was just called Triple Cage Match, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because it was a cage. I remember Canyon getting tossed from the top of the third cage.
Because wasn't it a cage?
On top of a cage, on top of a cage.
You know, I once saw a guy, and he was a street performer, but his entire act was that he trained a rat to sit on top of a cat, and trained the cat to sit on top of a dog. That was awesome. I would pay money to see that again. You paid him $5 to take a photo. It was worth every dollar.
I wouldn't pay
five
to see the
bucks
triple.
It's not worth. And that was the main event here.
Yeah.
But here's the amazing thing. If that had been the main event, and you just sat through an averagely bad pay-per-view, this would have been
forgivable.
Yeah.
No, this entire show saved the first match. Well, actually, let's go back. Let's start off with the pre-show. Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger is your new hot baby face that you're trying to get over. So you have him lose Aiden English, someone who you've had obvious trouble finding a voice and finding an audience for.
Well, you've got a guy who you've done a really bang-up job of killing Stone Dead, that you bring this guy from NXT where you have you knew how to get him over in NXT. The Vaudevillains didn't walk in and were suddenly successful. The Vaudevillains, you built them up. You killed this guy Stone Dead, and now you are using his corpse to beat Ty Dillinger to death with.
Yes, yes. So perfect, this, perfect.
Just analogy. Why? Why would you do? Like, there is a trail of killed gimmicks in this show, because then we go into actually like a good match. We're going to a good match now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, you had something to say about
Well, it. I just don't get beating Ty Dillinger.
In the pre-show.
In pre-show. Isn't this his first official pay-per-view appearance?
I want to say... No, because he was in... Wasn't he in Royal Rumble.
Rumble, okay.
Yeah, he was in the Rumble. So. But yeah, this was a chance
first
to...
First singles
you know,
match.
This is a guy...
This was straight out of Lucha Underground. First time in Big Show. Let's beat him. Let's move on. All right, SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. New Day defending, the Usos defending against the New Day. This was a pretty damn solid tag team match. I was not expecting much.
Yeah.
No knock against the New Day, but they're in a position where their gimmick is so over they don't have to put on good matches. Yet, they brought their A-game. The Usos have stepped it up as heels. I enjoyed this thoroughly, especially some of the spots were blink and you missed, but some of the best spots all year in WWE action.
Yeah.
The attempted elbow from the top rope by Xavier Woods right before, Jimmy rolls out of the ring and Jay catches him with this super kick.
No, it wasn't a super kick. It was a drop kick.
Drop kick? Okay. I'm sorry.
It was kind of because
all you saw was foot.
It was kind of this weird combo of he jumped into place and I think did a super kick. So it was a lot going on. The timing on that was spot on.
I don't think they'll be able to nail that kind of timing
years.
Again.
A million years. My suspicion is this is the New Day's final run. I think. Yeah, I mean, the merch sales are great, but we're getting to a point where, I mean, Kofi Kingston has got to be looking at, like, how much longer do I do this?
Xavier's got some mileage.
Xavier's got a lot of mileage, but they protected him long enough. He's good. He's not terrible. He's not great. He's good. But this proved you can put him in a high-stakes match, yeah. And he's going to deliver. And
he needs more
really
singles
good.
Matches under his belt.
That's what he needs.
And I feel that if they were to just say turn Big E heel,
yeah,
he'd become the monster heel US or IC champ. And there's your feud right there.
Because how long have they? I mean, how old is the New Day now? I mean, this is. I mean, they've been together since 2014. They're coming up on 3 years.
Yeah, the stable, you really don't want to overstay your welcome. NWO.
The thing is that there is mileage with them, but that's the perfect reason to split them up now is because you can bring them back together in 2 years' time.
Exactly.
Because
if you wait too long,
if you get stale. 2 years' time, would you not kill to see a reformed heel Shield? Because first time you reform the Shield, you've got to reform those faces.
Yeah.
You just have
to. Agree.
Versus a babyface New Day. But you've got to split up the New Day. You've got to have your first reformation of the Shield. And you've got to give time for everybody in the New Day to get over to a certain degree and then bring them back together. So that's a two-year arc.
Yeah.
But you've got to start setting those pieces in place. I think they did it with this match.
I believe so.
They didn't need Big E.
Although I'm not a fan of the Usos dropping the belts this soon. They were just starting to get some steam.
Yeah. But the thing is that the...
I would have saved it for SummerSlam, personally.
I suspect we're going to have some kind of rematch before then.
The big four pay-per-views, you want as many babyface pops as you can get. That would have been the perfect place.
Oh, yeah.
One more month, I would have been fine with the Usos dropping the belts.
They've been really good at mistiming this. It's like they're a
like
month
when Bayley winning the belt before the month before Mania.
It's like somebody's got an early draft of the script and has synced it wrongly with their Google Calendar. Something's wrong. this is not as egregious as Bayley winning a month early, but the timing was wrong. But it was a really good match.
It was.
This was one of the better matches I've seen on a WWE pay-per-view that didn't involve anybody called AJ, Sammy, or Kevin in quite a while.
And this match was officially the diving board of this show, because from there on out, everything just... just took a dive.
Straight to hell.
Fatal five-way elimination match. Oh, wait. A five-way women's match on SmackDown. Well, who would have thought?
First, we had... How bad do you have to be to make Shinsuke... A match with Shinsuke Nakamura just like...
I'm sorry. I did not mean to skip over this.
Shinsuke Nakamura... I guess
my brain was trying to... You know that there's this theory that Wolverine, part of the reason his memory loss is his mind, his healing factor affecting his mind and trying to heal over traumatic experiences. Maybe that's what happened with me just now, why I forgot about this
match.
That's
why you can't even remember Money in the Bank this year, is it? There's just this, like... Three and a half hour gap in your memory from a couple of months ago, and like, what did this? Was there a thing? Yeah, when you
way
Nakamura,
to make Nakamura just another guy. WWE,
quite a lot.
You achieved the impossible. You did it with Bayley. Didn't think you can do it. Did it with Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Didn't think you can do it. You've done it. Oh my goodness, they've done it with Sami Zayn. He could have been the next Daniel Bryan. I'm like, okay, you cannot do it with Nakamura. They've done it. They've made him just another wrestler on the roster.
And with, you know, doing it in a match with Baron Corbin, who... I don't blame Nakamura with this. I maybe blame Nakamura for not standing up and saying this is a stupid match to lay out. But, yeah, we all know Corbin can't do a match by himself. Just sorry. I don't care what anybody says. There is no evidence that the guy can put a match.
No, he can't. And this match is going to be all on the road agent that laid it out. And
whoever's fault it was. Because,
yeah.
Because it's dependent on the one thing that neither of these guys should be, which is idiots. Both of them, at different points, were idiots. They were just complete numbskulls.
At one point, he had Corbin laid out. What would you do in the case of see your opponent there trying to struggle to his feet and just collapse? What would the normal wrestler do?
Oh, that's the thing. He's
walk not, over there and pin him.
He's not even trying to get up. He's out cold. And Nakamura goes over and goes, hey, 300-pound guy, let me lift you up.
Gotta get my shit in.
That really is. I was like... This was dependent on... This was the first match that was truly dependent, out of many matches tonight, on the wrestlers being morons.
And writing a babyface as a moron is one of the worst things you can do, and one thing this company excels at.
Well, and also, it's the worst thing you can do with Corbin. I mean, there are heels you can write as dummies.
When someone you're trying to put the rocket pack on...
And particularly with him, because his whole thing is, he doesn't do much, he just hits you really hard, and then he pins you... Because he makes sure that he's never in a position for you to hit him. That's it. He's supposed to be the smart guy. He's the guy who's like, I'm not going to learn. I need to learn moves. I just hit you and stay out of your way. So he's cunning. And he wasn't this time round. He's just like he's just a putz. The pair of them look like putzes. I mean, I've got to say, their rematch on SmackDown this week looked better.
Much better.
You know, after one of the worst matches of the year, and the fact that Corbin still has... Money in the Bank contract. The only thing that's paying off well here is that they are clearly setting up Nakamura versus Cena, which is at least going to be fascinating. You know, it's two of the biggest talents in their individual markets coming together. Admittedly, it's on Cena's ground, and you know, God bless him. I don't see any way in hell Cena's going to take a Kinshasa at full speed.
I don't know if I'm interested in seeing the match. It's
just I am just purely out of curiosity.
Clashing styles. That match does nothing for me.
Cena, when you give him a reason to turn up, will work hard. And I think this is a match that I think is going to at least be worth watching. I don't think it's going to be great. But I think if you've got two guys who, not least... I think the spectacle around the show will be pretty damn special. I think that's a SummerSlam match. That's a SummerSlam quarter match. I honestly put those two together. And you only do it once. You just need those two coming in and just the show business of it, and then just have them go to town on each other. I think it'll be a good match. Not great. I'm not saying great, but I think it will be spectacular.
If I was going to do it, I would have saved it for Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, because those pay-per-views lately have, outside of your Brock Lesnar match, they don't have too much star power in the singles matches. I would have saved it for one of those two. SummerSlam? I don't know. Nakamura, I would like to have seen an extended program between him and Kevin Owens.
Oh, there's a dozen people that he could be fighting at this moment that would all be more interesting than what they're doing with him. And he's not going to make Corbin better. That he just exposes every single weakness that Corbin's got.
Nakamura, like, I love him to death. He's gotten into a pattern of he's going to do his match.
It's lather, rinse, repeat, which is fine. You know, at this point in his life, the man has earned the ability to come out and do...
Yeah.
Because his match is better than most other people's best day.
Completely agree. But when he has to heavily carry someone...
A guy who always needs carrying. Who is inherently dull. And then you make him look like a putz. It was a bad match.
This match needs to not happen ever again.
And the fact they ended it with that's with Nakamura being put into a position where he screws himself. And then low blow, like, get out of here.
I almost turn the pay-per-view off. And I'm the one that always defends, no. I'm not one of these people that hates DQ finishes and count-out finishes. I just don't like them at pay-per-view.
You hated this DQ finish.
Well, I just don't like them at network event pay-per-view type settings. On the regular show, I'm fine with.
Something even worse.
Oh, dear.
The five-way elimination match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship.
How many five-way?
Number one contendership. Because that's all they need to know how to do.
That's typically done to cover up weak wrestlers in your division.
They didn't cover anything up there, did they? This was. I'm not saying it was catastrophically bad. Because at any point where you've got a match... Where you've got Natalya, who is always at least competent. You know, she is a backbone of a division. She's always going to take... People beat up on her. I'm like, I don't get the Natalya.
I don't get it.
Like, she's solid. They need to give her more time to be her on the mic. And I think she's, that's fine. You've got Becky Lynch and you've got Charlotte Flair. But the fact that Lana and Tamina are so bad, still. They have been... How long had they been trying to make Lana into a wrestler? Because there were reports that she was in the ring in NXT when she was still down there with Rusev, way back in the dim distance. She wasn't just bad. She was worryingly bad. She was dangerous.
She was exposing the business bad.
The moment where she missed... The spin kick, realized she'd missed the spin kick, but did not realize that Charlotte, because Charlotte is a professional, sold it anyway because she was like, I know where the camera angle is, I know the hard cam didn't catch it. If you go through, if you go under the angle, that she whiffed. And, like, if I jerk my head and go down, Lana then continues and kicks her in the back of the skull. Oh, dear God. And then you got... Tamina, who is not getting any better.
I don't know.
You're an enforcer. Who are you going, like, who are you enforcing for? I mean, this was an elimination match. Nothing about this was spectacular. And now you set up, Naomi versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Belt at SummerSlam. Which, okay. I don't think that's a SummerSlam?
They should have gone with my idea. Just put her with the Usos as their enforcer.
Yeah.
Put the belts back on them. Let them keep the belts for a long time.
I mean, that could be where they go at this point. I mean, that will make it.
Makes sense.
Because,
Tamina, she's got nothing else going on.
Yeah, she is. If you put the women's belt on her, you have killed this division even deader than it is. And, I like Naomi an awful lot. I know they put a rocket on her. her win was a really great moment when she took the belt. Yeah. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, why is she not defending the belt on this pay-per-view? Could you not have found somebody in the roster to put her up against? No, because you know you've made the roster too thin. If the you know the only they got to bring some of the women up from NXT,
they have to
fast.
Like Asuka, yeah. you can't keep her down there any longer.
Well, and you know, honestly, you know, I want to see Nikki Cross up there. I know they won't know what to do with her, but I'd much rather see her in there just you know for something to do at this point. Ruby Riott is like 3 months away. If Ruby Riott's not up on the roster by WrestleMania, then they really clearly don't know what to do. She's just had some issues of her timing was off because there were multiple spots where it's like, and I think it was just she was getting used to the size of the ring, yeah. And that's more common in WWE than a lot of people want to talk about. Yeah, but yeah. It took her a while. But you know, bring her up by WrestleMania, she'd be great, she'd be over, she'd be huge. Instead, it's like here's this five way again where you know Becky and Charlotte and Natalya are trying to carry everybody, and you put Natalya over, and I'm like, okay, I guess.
Last report I did for the Scrum Sports, I stated that another superstar shakeup is needed. Sasha Banks, heel turn, center to SmackDown.
Well, unfortunately, I think what we're going to have instead is that they're going to have some screwy finish at SummerSlam where Carmella's going to cash in, and that's going to be the big no out of SummerSlam for the women's division, and it's going to be a terrible idea.
Nowhere near ready.
Can you imagine a Carmella-Naomi match?
Naomi is good. She cannot carry horrible opponents.
Nobody could carry Carmella.
Carmella should not have been called up.
No, she shouldn't have been. Well, no, perfectly fine to call her up if she was just going to be
a valet.
Yeah,
but. Someone, rumor is, someone high up is huge on her. Why? I don't know.
Reason at all. This was terrible. Not terrible, but not good. Owens versus Styles.
For the U.S. Championship.
I think they're bored of this now.
This match baffled me. This baffled me more than Eric Bischoff's constant calling Enziguri a front leg back kick.
Yeah.
Or back leg front kick.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell he calls it. Kevin Owens is a master of the heat portion of the match.
Yeah.
But, what city was this in?
We were in Philly.
The last time I remember someone doing headlocks this long was Randy Orton at one of the ECW one night stands, and what was the crowd chanting?
Boring.
Pretty much. If the crowd wasn't dead by that last match, I think this partially did it. There were pockets of people chanting for AJ, but
you'd gone through, you know, an uninteresting opening singles match, a good, but it was 13-14 minute curtain twitcher where they put over the guy who's like, well, that's interesting. A terrible Nakamura Corbin match, a messy five way that just killed the room.
So this was the match that we all thought was going to save the show,
and they gave him, you know, a long time, and then it was Owens basically doing the screw you, but like the whole, I don't know what's going on, because something is going on with this. And the fact that the payoff was on Tuesday, you had Jericho come back interject himself into this, and it's like, you really don't know what to do apart from have these three guys wrestling.
It felt like they changed the finish that day, or changed who the winner was going to be that day.
Dave Meltzer, I think it was Meltzer, said that, you know, they actually changed during the match. What he'd heard all day was that AJ was going to retain, which could explain why AJ was like, and why Owens was like, and they have this stupid finish where it's kind of just a cradle reversal. It just doesn't make any sense. Nothing. Fortunately, I mean, that was two guys phoning it in. At least it's two guys who were good phoning it in, because AJ phoning it in is better than most people.
Pretty much.
But then you've got
the flag match that was not not the normal rules of a flag match. They added some stuff here.
Yeah, Cena versus Rusev in yet another evil foreigner flag match.
WWE, at this point, you burned me out of this whole USA versus evil foreign power gimmick. If I see it again, I think I'm going to start mailing complaint letters. I over and over and over, literally every single day until Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn retires.
Because this was another of those matches where this was the night of the dumb wrestler, because the easy way to do this is you run over to your corner, you get your flag, and you sprint. And you put your flag on top of the steps that they had set up with a flagpole receptacle, and you win. So this was not a wrestling match.
This was a race.
This was an obstacle course.
This was Cannonball Run.
And I'm watching it and going like, so why don't you just get your flag and run? Why on earth, what is the motivation other than I hate you to do this? And if you just hate each other, just go in the parking lot and beat each other up. Isn't the best way to win this? It's like, I got the flag, I'm going to run over there. You failed to understand the rules of an obstacle course.
Flag matches are throwaway matches anyway. If they were going to do this, just do this the night that Cena came back on the 4th of July SmackDown.
Here's the weird thing. We have now reached the point in the history of Western civilization where there is now a Candy Crush TV game that involves an obstacle. I know. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see Gene's face right now. It's hosted by Mario Lopez, so we really have entered the seventh circle of hell. And there is an obstacle course section of the Candy Crush TV game. Officially, as this was booked, John Cena and Rusev are too dumb to appear on the televised Candy Crush game. That's the problem. A game which I've literally seen people win by going up to the screen and just flailing their arms. Eat an octopus could win this game. And clearly, these two aren't prepared for that. This was extraordinary. I was just watching this going like, you can tell they're both there going like, why are we doing this? You know, how on earth... This is the genius of WWE.
Genius in quotation.
Oh, no. Because you've got to be a genius to pull this off. They're actually managing to kill Cena's character. They're killing Cena. Cena is unkillable. Cena is the gimmick that is... It's bulletproof. And somehow... They're making him into just another guy. I mean, making Nakamura into just another guy, it's like, well, that's fair enough, because you just didn't know how to handle a new talent. To make Cena into just another guy? That's mind-boggling.
I knew that could happen once they made Randy Orton just another guy as the last title reign that he had at post-WrestleMania.
He, a man with possibly the worst... run of pay-per-view matches.
Last 2017? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
That was terrible. Then...
we get Sami Zayn versus Mike...
Mike Kanellis.
Kanellis.
Because...
accompanied by Maria Kanellis.
Because clearly... Yeah,
God. Taking his wife's last name is supposed to get heat.
Which I don't get that.
They have an awesome entrance theme. I would love to see a triple threat between him, Bobby Roode, and Nakamura. I would like.
Okay,
piss myself.
Here's the thing: the Ring of Honor era, the original iteration of the Bennett Kanellis iteration of the Kingdom was awesome. It was so good. I don't know how you screw that up. And they bring them over, and it's this weird, like, it's like when they completely misjudged how to get Fandango over because they didn't realize that creepy Johnny Curtis does this rag smell like chloroform Curtis was such a great gimmick, and instead they kind of botch bringing them over. Good work. The only positive of this was that it gave Sami Zayn a win with a turnbuckle exploder.
Although
please, can we not do turnbuckle? Buckle bombs. I have a real problem with buckle bombs. Nobody can control a buckle bomb, and everybody wants to do them at the moment. They're just a bad idea.
I'm okay with a Zayn win. I'm not okay with Kanellis eating his first pay per view appearance, eating a loss.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. They should have had tag match, or Zayn face someone else, or Kanellis face someone else. I want Sami Zayn to start getting some wins, but this was not the place to do it.
Oh my god, this is a man who at one point was tagging with Adam Cole and Matt Hardy. Good work. Good work. You have killed this guy.
He's not even been up on the main roster. Wait, how long?
Oh, a month? A month, if that.
WWE. Great job.
Kudos. And then...
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Can we play the scary prison lowering into the arena music?
I think we should.
Because that was the best part of
Chris,
the whole
thing. Chris, sort that out when you're editing this. That would be lovely. Yeah, Jinder Mahal retains yet again... over Randy Orton, officially the world's stupidest man, who walks into stupid gimmick matches and makes them less interesting. I mean, this is the thing. Like,
by no these are selling, matches
by no selling. But basically, this was 27 minutes. 27 minutes.
I'm going to say something positive.
Gene says something positive. It's that bit of the show, folks.
Hell is not frozen over. But I am going to say something positive. This cannot possibly be the same prison that was used 2006 and 2007. Though the view was obstructed when we got camera shots from outside of the double ring, they were not as obstructed as they were on the old. I went back and watched. The bars were further apart, so you can slightly see on the inside if you're watching on TV. If you're in the arena, you're still effed in the A.
Well, apart from... while the bars were further apart, what was closer together were the two actual cages.
Yeah.
Which led to the best terrible moment in a match.
That exposed the flaw of the match?
That at one point, towards the end... Randy Orton climbs up the side of the cage because, of course, all four doors get closed. Like, why do they even bother with those? It's stupid. Now, I was hoping / fearful that they do what they did in the second Punjabi prison match, which was Great Khali versus Batista, which was the best of the three. Wasn't good. It was not good.
Not good at all. But
it had one awesome spot where Batista realizes, oh, I've got a problem. I need to get over to the other, from one cage to the other. And jump to cross. It's a really cool spot. It's not a dangerous spot, but it was really super cool because you're like, this guy's smart. He's seen like...
And it's Big Dave. You're not going to expect him to make a leap of faith like that or anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, does this like, this is smart.
When he's against a giant like that, you can... show the big guy do some agility.
Batista was very underrated in a lot of ways, and like he may go down as the main eventer they most underused when they thought they were pushing him.
Well, one, he was a bit injury prone.
They did call him Fragile Dave for a reason.
Yeah, he started late. He was injury prone, and I think they wanted him to be the rah-rah babyface, and he's like, I have no want or desire to be a white meat baby face.
I'm an awesome heel. Let me be an awesome heel.
Yeah, exactly.
Heels be healing. Exactly. And they just never got that with him. But, you know, he did this beautiful spot. He, like, this guy's really smart. He's looked at it. Instead here, what we have at one point is Jinder is is up scaling the second cage. Randy is at the top of the first cage, and he just walks across because they're so close together, and just go, people are numbskulls. Why would you design these cages like this? You are clearly numbskulls. More importantly, why did Jinder climb down? Well, you can clearly just monkey bar across.
Yes.
Again, this is what happened with Nakamura. It's what happened with Cena. This is your top guys being numbskulls. And in this case, like with Cena and Rusev, can't work out an obstacle course.
I don't know if it's the writers or if it's the people who are putting together the matches.
Oh, and then the worst thing, apart from the fact that this match was a debacle.
Are you talking about the return?
The return of Jinder Mahal.
Oh, the Great Khali.
The Great Khali, you rather. Nice work, because that's what this called for. Great Khali comes in after yet again, I mean, there are only two heroes in this match. The Singh brothers, who yet again just get pulverized left, right, and center. I'm not sure.
They deserve a raise.
I'm not sure which of the Bollywood boys it was, because I still want to think of them as that. I don't want to think of them.
They took the dive.
They took the hideous, hideous bump. Like, yo, Mick Foley off the top of the cage has nothing on this. Spinning in midair, just doomed. You know,
it was a thing of beauty.
Announcer's desk explodes.
Even the setup to that spot was handled perfectly.
You know,
the one great thing about that match.
The Stooges are the only good wrestlers in this entire debacle. Randy doesn't care. Randy has been in a succession of terrible matches that he has done nothing to make better. Jinder Mahal should not have the belt. The Hinder Jinder folks, screw you. You're wrong. he is terrible. And he's
defended him for a little bit.
Because you were wrong. I love you, but you were wrong.
No, I won't say I defended. I was in the... I was nonplussed. I just... They're going to do it.
Great Khali returning. A man who... I loved the moment where after Jinder won and he gets his belt and goes, yay, and holds it over his head. And then the Great Khali goes, I want to do that as well. Because the Great Khali, God bless him, does not understand how wrestling works. Like, that clearly, in any other circumstance, would be the setup to an angle where the Great Khali is going to go up against Jinder Mahal. One, dear God, no. Two, clearly not. He just doesn't get that you don't touch the belt. He doesn't understand it. This guy does not get the industry.
And he's treated like a star, such a star over there that he doesn't understand that this show doesn't revolve around you here, buddy.
Well, I don't think he means well. He does seem delightful, but I'm like, who cares? Yeah. And this was, and what, you know, what really was astounding, that you would have thought after a weekend where New Japan going, it's just going to sound so Dave Meltzer, has the G1 Climax tournament and the first round is unanimously held to be one of the best weekends of wrestling ever. Like, at this point, it's going to be very, very hard for anybody to make any argument for any matches other than what happened here and at Dominion the US event, for anything other than New Japan product to be in the top 10 in the end of the year list. You may have, odds are there'll be a couple of things out of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. There may be a couple of Ring of Honor matches in there. Nothing from WWE. Nothing from TNA.
Lucha Underground, maybe.
What are you going to put in there?
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
The show, I'm not going to go on a tirade. Since they came back from that mid-season break, doing the Queto Cup tournament, it's been firing on all cylinders, with the exception of, you know, the screwy finishes with every single one of Drago's matches, and I like Drago a lot. Let him get a clean win. But between Lucha Underground and AAA, can you please explain to me why Sexy Star is getting this level of push between those two promotions?
No one knows.
They treat her like she's the Roman Reigns of Mexican wrestling promotions. Why? I'm sorry. She's okay in the ring at best. She is. I apologize. She's horrible on the microphone.
Oh no, she's terrible. Horrible. Inexplicable. Inexplicable. Nothing about this.
And it baffles me. I don't get it. I don't get it. They've had better women in the ring than her in both promotions. Why?
I don't know. I don't know what can possibly be going through their minds. And they have this what was the hell was the recent thing with...
Oh, Ataya and Johnny Mundo?
Yeah. But apparently they called them... Was it AAA?
It was AAA.
AAA called them in and said, oh, we just need you to do some photo shoots. And then they just wouldn't give
her belt back.
Their belt back. The structure of the belt. Why?
That company.
You have to wonder what on earth is going on.
That company is alienating a lot of people. I see, honestly, Lucha Underground, if they get five full seasons, they'll be lucky.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly supported them at first, but it's clear, one, you have a lot of people at the top that are TV people, movie people that don't get professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And
it also seems pretty clear at this moment that Johnny Mundo is doing it because it gets him more TV and film work.
Yeah.
Hey, he's in a great little independent film called Dave Made a Maze, which I can fully, fully recommend to everybody. It's coming out on VOD later this year. It's this awesome, weird, imagine a cardboard version of Labyrinth. I'm not kidding. And Johnny Mundo is in it as a Minotaur, and it's kind of awesome. But he's doing all kinds of weird little TV stuff, and he's very happy doing it. So I think he's a man who's found his exit ramp. So.
Also, hearing rumors of him possibly returning to WWE, not anytime soon, but maybe is his contract up at the end of this season?
Well, if he's contracted with Lucha Underground, I think most of them, it's TV contracts.
Yeah.
So, it's only it's probably only season at a time. I'd be surprised if he signed it for multiples. Yeah.
Some people have. Prince Puma.
Yeah.
We saw the situation he's stuck in.
Poor guy. But Lucha Underground is doing what it does, and I think it's getting so caught up in the crazy at the moment that it's kind of, who cares? Yes. But, go back to the G1. I was looking through the list of matches that they've had in the tournament, and everything I'm just looking at and going, I want to see these. There isn't a matchup here that I didn't want to see, and a matchup that hasn't delivered. There is a lot to go through here. There are a lot of matches, but Fale versus Zack Sabre Jr. Really good. I watched Really Great. As you look at this and you go, everything here is about going, okay, at some point you have styles clash going.
How about Fale versus Tanahashi?
That was great.
It told a great story.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr. could win a match with something like a top wrist lock.
Yeah.
If you're selling an injury angle, this is how you do it.
And then, Goto, who's on a roll at the moment, the Goto Ishii match was one of the best matches that they've done.
Ishii is, I've made no bones about it, he is one of my all time favorite wrestlers out of New Japan, and Goto brings out the best in him. Makabe brings out the best in him. Hell, Omega brought out the best in him. Omega, that's one of those guys, though. Omega, he can have a match with a garbage bin and get 3.5 stars out.
Okada Elgin was great.
Elgin has. It's like a renaissance with him.
Oh, yeah. He that man loves New Japan, clearly.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson. Oh my god! Like
I have not seen any of his matches outside of the opener, that six man tag.
The guy's just on fire. You know, it's just it's one of those things where you just go, "How did you get good?" You know, his
he needs to learn to slow it down a little and not. He reminds me of early AJ, does unnecessary stuff.
But he's getting there.
He'll tone it down.
I mean, him versus Suzuki was awesome.
Yeah.
That was really great. I was like, you're going up there against, like, you know, this guy who basically just likes hurting people and almost isn't bothered about whether he wins or not, because long term, his plan is if he kills you, you can never beat him again. Good work. So this has just been spectacular. I mean, there's so many matches in there that, like, the matches I've seen have been great. And there's enough more matches that I'm going, like, I don't know how I fit them all in because I want to see everything because this has been consistently good. You know, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And, you know, Ring of Honor is in a really good place at the moment. They're just, you know, I think a lot of people are concerned that they're losing a lot of guys because a lot of, you know, Dijak is on his way out. They've already lost Leo Rush. Red Dragon's gone. I'm so worried they're going to get misused. I mean, they're not going to use them properly in WWE. It's sad now. I get upset when I watch NXT because I know that there's so many people in there who are either never going to get called up or they're going to get chronically misused when they do.
I already am seeing it with the Revival. I'm not too pleased with the usage of them thus far. And
they're still top guys to me, goddammit.
They'll always be. They'll always be. But leave it to that creative team up there.
They're extraordinary.
Not in a good way.
Yeah. Do we have any questions this week from the audience?
I only had two.
Well, that's good enough.
One, this was from a buddy of mine, Josh. He's wanting to know, he's just now getting back into wrestling, and he listens to a lot of podcasts, and he's heard the hammering of Battleground 2017, and wants to know.
That's terrible.
It was. But he wants to know, what are our thoughts on the worst pay-per-view, wrestling pay-per-view of all time? There are a lot of bad ones. I think WrestleMania's 8 and 9 were up there.
Oh, they were pretty poor.
The third, was it the third, 5, 6, 7, 8? No, the fourth ECW One Night Stand was pretty bad.
Oh, that was, yeah. That
December
was,
to Dismember was bad.
December to Dismember may be my pick for the worst, because there was nothing that justified its existence.
I'm going to have to go with NWO Sold Out.
Oh,
good God. Like, I compared that to the film The Room by Tommy Wiseau, where it's like, some films may have bad script, some films may have bad acting, some films may have a bad third act. The Room, every single thing, the lighting, the music, the bad CG background, everything, you want to punch the gaffer in the key grip. This pay-per-view, from everything, from the build to it, with the guys driving around on garbage trucks.
Yep.
Where they held it at? Cedar Rapids? Really? Because that's cool. NWO. You hold this in a place like Miami or Las Vegas. Cedar Rapids? And everything from there was downhill.
The only one I think that comes, I think the only other contender I can really think of is Bash on the Beach, purely because of the whole idea of, like, let's actually do a wrestling match in the worst possible place to have a wrestling match. That's a very strong content. There were a couple of really ropey Slammiversaries as well.
Yeah. TNA, though, early to mid TNA, as bad as it got, you got a few good matches at pay-per-views. Yeah. I really have to think hard for a pay-per-view where every single match was bad.
Yeah, I mean, there was always at least something in there. I mean, I think on aggregate, they'd always be good, but there'd be some moments which was so incredibly bad that it's hard to justify slogging through the rest of it, because when you get to those bad moments, they're just so horrible. Yeah, I think... We're tied between Sold Out and Bash on the Beach, because Sold Out was the payoff to so much and so horribly done, and Bash on the Beach was just like, this is, you can't make this work. This is going to blow up in your faces, inevitably. This is your, Altamont, and you are lucky if nobody gets stabbed to death by the Hell's Angels. Horrible. Horrible, both of them. What was the other question we had this week?
Good question,
by the way. Thank you very much.
Same person. He's just wanting to know, through conversation, we were talking about SmackDown, and he just started watching SmackDown a little while ago.
Poor lamb.
And he didn't get why throughout 2016 everyone was gassing it up as the superior show. And I'd let him know the Superstar Shakeup really did a lot of damage to the roster. And he wants to know, do we think that they're purposely trying to sabotage SmackDown to make Raw look like the A show?
You know, I don't think they're deliberately doing it. But I do think Vince is taking enough interest in it now that it just shows how much Vince can sabotage a game.
He was pretty hands-off on SmackDown.
And I think, you know, the ultimate thing was when he cancelled Talking Smack, and initially people were like, well, the figures are low, and it's turned out... You know, now
it turns out the figures were not that low.
The figures were perfectly fine. It was just he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because people were getting over. And now we've got
It's the Zack Ryder scenario. Well, you get over without us, pal. Yeah. You're going to suffer.
The clear point we've reached where Daniel Bryan and Renee do not care. You can fire them. Renee can go anywhere.
WrestleTalk News. Today's count of how many pucks Daniel Bryan gives, still at zero.
I almost wonder whether he's trying to get himself fired. You know, and Renee, she could walk anywhere.
The day she gets let go, she's already got a job at probably three other sports networks.
Oh, yeah, instantaneously. Whereas Daniel Bryan could go anywhere he wants at this point because the man is so incredibly over. He's so incredibly popular. He's frugal. He made a shit ton of money. You know, I think the thing is, everybody goes like, oh, he hasn't got enough money to retire on. I think he hasn't got enough money to retire on if you're Shawn Michaels. He's got to be closer than most because he's like, yeah, you know what, I don't care. You know, he's got plenty of things he can do. There are plenty of ways for him to make money without
having to grow his own food.
Yeah, he can, you know, and he could go to New Japan in a moment.
If he wants to wrestle, but honestly, he could be a manager somewhere.
Well, he could be a booker anyway. But if anybody wants to tell me that Cody Rhodes would not win his bet with Dave Meltzer, because Dave Meltzer said, you know, somebody asked him, like, you know, do you think that Ring of Honor could ever sell out a 20,000 seat arena? And he went like, eh, I don't know. And Cody Rhodes said, give me a year, the right promotion, and the right booking, and I can do it. If you booked Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan the day after Daniel Bryan's non-compete clause expired, you've sold 20,000 tickets. I'm sorry. You just have. There's no two ways around it. You do it in Philly. If you tell me that Ring of Honor couldn't go to, couldn't sell out the Tokyo Dome with that,
I would have him show up at a Ring of Honor event just as a ticket holder, just to start the buzz.
Yeah, just do it. I don't think it's deliberate. I think that it's final proof that the WWE
that Vince needs to retire
has an amazing ability to self sabotage.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The guy's what, 73 now? He's got to retire.
He's got to go.
Him and Kevin Dunn, take him with you.
And the fact that you now have that he's got his eye so off most of the product that Daniel Bryan and Renee are now doing their smack talking
on tout their failed social media platform.
Awesome. I mean, this clearly is two people who don't give a fuck and are telling everybody in the world they don't give a fuck.
Pretty much.
You can't fire people from a show and not tell them you're doing it. You know, they don't care. They got nothing invested in this. So, boom, there's your problem. Exactly. You've done every reason for your fans not to care. You've given your stars an outlet for making it look like they don't care. Even if this is all some really complicated work, they don't care. Yeah, like they don't have it. It feels too natural.
They don't have it in them to create a work this good.
And you know, all I'm doing at the moment is sitting there and going like, you know, this is a company that even at the lower level, even in NXT, you know, that I was looking at it and going like, something's off there as well. I wonder whether it's just because Trips is probably, you know, having the fight of his life over where Raw goes, but the fact that you have Bobby Fish debut and you have him against Aleister Black in a curtain twitcher on a regular NXT show with no announcement, that's like,
that should have been an NXT takeover.
Yeah, that should like, have been. Do you not know who this is? And the fact that he turns up and the crowd pops because it's Bobby Fish.
The NXT show has been hampered a bit since Ryan Ward got called up to got promoted to SmackDown head writer. The show is still good. It's still better than Raw on 9 times out of 10. But NXT used to be better than Raw 11 times out of 10. And it's suffering. The roster getting depleted kind of also took some wind out of their sails. I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah, I think they will, but I think it's you know, I don't want to see any, I'm at the point now where, other than some of the women's division, just because I think it would do the women's division some good to, you know, get some new blood in there, I don't want to see anybody go up because I think they'll be misused.
I agree, but Bobby Roode is, what, 38 now?
Oh, Bobby Roode needs to come up.
He needs to come up.
He needs
to make as much money as he can on that main roster before he decides, you know, off to the wildly yonder of retirement.
Well, then that's it for this episode of, to use a Daniel Bryan approach to this, screw jobs and thumbtacks. Desperate plug for ourselves yet again. As always, catch all of our material at oneofus.net and follow oneofus.net on Twitter at oneofusnet. Also on, you know, friend us on Facebook. We're friendly people. Gene, where else can people find your stuff?
I'm at smartcountry@oneofus.net and also for the Scrum Sports. And catch me on Twitter at Gene Selassie.
And you can find me on Twitter at YorkshireTX. And you can find my work all over oneofus.net, including we're having totally non-related, but we're some upcoming coverage from the Fantasia Festival in Canada, and also Fantastic Fest, which is going to eat my life very soon. Obviously at austinchronicle.com on a weekly basis. So I think that's it. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, and ding ding.
I'm sorry about Battleground.
No, don't be sorry. Don't apologize for them.